Let's stand together and sing page 49, can we? I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I'm free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and filled with glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the hand has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy, peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and filled with glory, filled with glory, filled with glory. It is joy unspeakable, it's full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realms of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the heart has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. And it is joy unspeakable, it's full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hat has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hype has never yet been told. Let's sing that last one over. It says, I've found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, it's springing up within my soul. Thinking about the fountain out here, right at this particular time, the fountain comes and the joy of the Lord is beginning to be spread abroad, and the wonderful things of Jesus is beginning to take place. And most assuredly, it is joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. Let's sing that again, can we? I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well spring up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable, full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Oh, it is joy. All it's filled with glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable, it's full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. That's beautiful. In that it is joy unspeakable and it's full of glory, that means that if we have obtained it, it is like this. 174, everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the soul of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His glory. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. And we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourners in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. And we will shout, sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. You can be seated. Everybody will be happy over there. That's true. There won't be nobody praying over there. There won't be anybody travailing and having misery of life. Everybody will be happy over there. Maybe we can stand again and sing this one more song. 344. It's called Come Unto Me. A little hoarse this morning, a little hard for me to sing, but you can sing. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. And O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come, no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy. Oh, come, my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and He will give you rest. Unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Stumbling on the mountains, dark with sin and shame, stumbling toward the pit of hell's consuming flame, by the powers of sin deluded and oppressed, hear the tender shepherd come to me and rest. Unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus and He will give you rest. Unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. Hear me and be blessed. For I am meek and low. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim His best. And in the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest. Unto me, and I will give you rest. Oh, take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. Oh, hear me and be blessed, for I and meek and lowly come. Man, trust my mind, come. My yoke is easy and my burden light.
Be seated. Say again, we're always thankful we have an opportunity to come to the house of the Lord. Tent meeting is set for the 14th of May, is it? 14th of May. That means that we'll be going down, if the good Lord's will, or going up. Maybe a day or two before then. And some of the others that are planning to be in the tent meeting with us, you're welcome to come and go with us. And I imagine that we'll probably send the tent up at least 4 or 5 days before the meeting, maybe a little sooner, to make sure that we have it to where we won't run into problems just about the time we go to preach. I don't know, I haven't really heard myself, but according to what Brother Lambert tells me and some of the others, the people of the area, there's a number of them that's real enthusiastic about our meeting, and they're making special efforts to help us in that area, that way we can hurry up and come. But anyway, we're looking forward to trying to do something for the Lord. Yesterday was highly significant in the allegoric sense, and things was real outstanding yesterday in what the Lord was doing. And of course, today is still highly allegoric also. Today has a great, wonderful spiritual significance. And as always, our cup continues to run over, because as God continues to show us and God continues to bless, our hearts are enlarged and our souls magnify God. So then it is such a wonderful, thrilling event with me. It's the divine providence of God that is constantly taking place, and we are so thrilled and excited until there's no way that we can contain the wonderful things that God gives us. That is alone. We have to, our cup runs over, and we just have to share with others the wonderful enthusiasm. They've also got the little fountains that have a significance out front here. They've got those almost ready for their work, as they usually do it when they're running. And we're having a little problem. We can't find the pumps. I don't know what they did with the pumps. We found the pumps for the big pond, but we didn't find the pumps for the small pond. And they are really significant. I'd sure love to find the pumps. I hate to have to buy new pumps, but we will. They're real significant in the work that they do when they're running. They tell a story. And people that are not spiritual, of course, will never hear the story. But as the big pump, it tells a beautiful, enchanting story. And as I'm around the different things, you know, of this nature, I listen to the wonderful voice of God as it is so beautifully portrayed and projected through these natural instruments of expression. These are things that God uses to convey to us His lovely presence and His lovely concern. His life, His ways, and His attributes are revealed to us in the simplicity of the natural things round and about us. God within His creation expressing Himself in His lovely tones of glory. And they are enchanting and transformating. These things are so beautiful. You just translate from glory to glory right into the wonderful, wonderful dimension of God, and into the glorious place where Jesus stood with Moses and Elijah. This I have given my life to and my life for. Because what is life here in this world, even at the very best, with all that you can have, everything that the flesh could wish for, what is this life? It is but few days and full of trouble. The man Solomon that had everything said it is but few days, and that full of trouble. It is filled with trouble, and it is like a vapor that appears for a while and then it vanishes away. It's swifter than a shuttle. So really you don't have anything in this life. But if you can find the secret of God, the secret of life, then you can transformate and you can change dimensions. You can transformate and you can translate and you can transfigure yourself into the wonderful glory and image of God. So beautiful. It's so wonderful. I wonder if we could sing perhaps one more song. Seems like there's a song in here called The Land of Beautiful Flowers, is it? Does anybody know where it's found? I know there is a land of beautiful flowers where we will meet again when life is o'er, where we will while away the endless hours on heaven's bright eternal shore. The prettiest beds of flowers will be blooming by the prettiest streets our eyes shall ever behold, where the beautiful tree of life for us is waiting by the prettiest mansion made of purest gold. The prettiest robes and crowns we'll all be wearing in the city four square beyond this world of strife. And the prettiest songs with the angels will be singing on the beautiful morning by the river of life. On heaven's golden strands there'll be no more dying, no chilling winds or tempest air will blow. It is a land of love and wondrous beauty where fragrance flowers ever grow. The prettiest flower will be blooming by the prettiest streets our eyes shall ever behold, where the beautiful tree of life for us is waiting by the prettiest mansion made of purest gold. The prettiest robes and crowns we'll all be wearing in the city four square beyond this world of strife. And the prettiest songs with the angels we'll be singing on the beautiful morning by the river of life. What a wonderful, wonderful thought to know that there really is another world. You can be seated. There really, genuinely is another world. You know, Brother Hollis has been doing some road work for us out front. It really looks nice around the fountain where he's doing some road work out there. And he's planning, if the Lord is willing, he's planning to go back Monday and continue some more work and help us to get ready by camp meeting. See, Brother Ward's with us this morning. He was down not too long ago, and he had a little problem, and he had to go back home. But see, he's with us again this morning. I want you to remember some of the things that we're doing, things that we're trying to do for the Lord. I also remember Junior. He's down at the Augusta Hospital. And if you have a chance to run down and see him, I know that he'd probably enjoy seeing you because it's a long ways down and probably not very many people get down there to visit with him. As far as I know, we'll probably run down and see him, and that it's so severe. I don't get around to visit with nobody much, my mother, brothers, whatever. Even my children, if they happen to go to the hospital, unless it's real severe. And sometimes I try to get up to see them. You know, life is so short that it seems an impossibility to do what needs to be done in the short span of life that you have. Solomon used the term for one day, it's just a few days. But one time he referred to it like this, just a few days. And that's true. And he said, and that's full of trouble. So man that's born to woman is but a few days, and that's full of trouble. He had just a few days, and that's full of trouble. It doesn't matter what he has or what he does. The young folks might do well if they pay attention up in the balcony back here to the services and then laugh and visit when they get out. At any rate, it's but a few days and full of trouble. In your lifetime, you are too young to do anything for God, seemingly, until you begin to develop and understand. Not that you're too young, in that the Lord, He uses you from the time that you are just a lad, like He did Samuel. But too young in the sense that most people aren't brought up in a Christian home, and they are... People are slow to develop, so it is way late in life before they get to where they can coordinate things and to do something for Jesus. So by then, there's a terrific loss of life and lifespan. And then people in our day, they surrender to circumstantial environment and a little bit of misery and aches and pains so easily. They subject themselves to it, and, you know, so easily without any perseverance or resistance until if they ever get just a little age on them, then they're too old. And man in our day, he starts seeking a retirement before he ever really gets started to work. He wants to go to school most of his life and not work, and then by the time he gets out of school, he wants to make a quick million and retire. Now, you might not agree with this, but it's true. I've talked to scholars from college, and I've talked to my own children. I've talked to different ones, and it's a true fact that they just don't have a mind to work at all. As a matter of fact, as I've said so many times, if they go to college and get out, and if they don't get a real outstanding job, they feel insulted if you offer them any means of labor outside of that, which is a terrible, terrible situation for our world. That's a terrible complex for a man to get his mind into. But anyway, this is the size of it. That makes life pretty short. By the time you take off all the years of maturing and you take off all the years of dying, you don't have but just, my lands, you know, you don't have but just a handful of years, as we say, just a very few years to do anything. So you set in to do whatever you're going to do, and then it takes about a third of them to be able to learn the traits of the parasites. And for the first third of that, you feed the parasites and you don't make any progress. And then for the next third of it, you run into problems after you have fed the parasites with them that come in and them that lie to you, and you weed them out as false brothers and sisters, and those that take you in with their, what can we call it, their financial system of uh, so much interest on this and so much on that, and a tag for this and a tag for that, and you can't get this unless you've got that. And eventually, when you finally get through, you got another third of it that the government closes in on, and they are eating you up with taxes and everything else. And then when you get through, you got about a third of that time left. You know, to pull it all out of the red, as we say, and really make it pay off. And by the time you get to that place, you don't have much time left. And you can take that little span there if you have, by then, had anybody to develop with you, coordinate, get your little group together, and that one-third is about all you get out of life, that one-third of the one-third of your life. And you get a little something done if you push hard and hurry. But that's about the size of it. And if you don't believe I'm telling you right, you just figure it all up, go back, analyze it, space it out, and you'll find it's absolutely the truth. And in the little one-third of the one-third, if you don't really get down to business, you won't even get that. So life is one thing that's few days and full of trouble. Few days and full of trouble. Solomon spent all of his life getting wisdom and all of his life getting riches and all of his life setting up what he wanted. And when he got it all, it was time for him to die. And so he went about despairing of life because he had placed his affections in the wrong place. He had not labored for Christ in the sense of a teetotal commitment. He had not placed his affections on God in the sense of an ultimatum. And as a result of that, he went about despairing of life because he said, all that I have, who knows but what I'll leave it to a fool after I've tried so hard to accumulate. Whereas a real Christian don't have that problem because all of their labor and all of their time is to lay up treasures in heaven. And when they get ready to leave, they're just going over to the treasures in heaven. And all the other things was just a sideline to make people happy and draw their attention to the wonderful kingdom of God and make them look in the direction that we would have them look in to be able to help them and indoctrinate them with the words of life. So it's beautiful to be a Christian. There's nothing like it. Any other thing, whether it's education, whether it's money, whether it's prestige, whether it's position, career, is all a waste of time. Because when you get it, you're going to find out you're going to leave it. Okay, let's read from the book of Jude and talk just a little bit this morning. I've enjoyed my talks with you. I really enjoyed it. I hope that you can work with us in what we're trying to do because, as I said yesterday, if my brethren or followers would, if they just had any idea what these natural things have to do with in symbols and allegoric types, they would certainly do all they could to help us put them up. They mean a lot, not just in allegoric types, but they mean a lot in the sense that this is to be like a garden. I saw this as a beautiful garden. I mean a fabulous place. It was the most beautiful place you've ever seen. And it had beautiful trees and little ponds and streams and whatever, and it was filled with all kind of animals and birds. It was a paradise, nothing less than the Garden of Eden. Whereas if the Spirit took the veil away, then that's what you would see. But in the natural, all they can see outside is the natural. So if you don't do something as to beautify the veil, to make it a presentation of the invisible or to relate to it in the sense of an allegoric appearance, they don't see anything. They're not drawn. Jesus came in the image so that he could draw people to him. The image of sin to make an end of that which is unbecoming. And resurrected in the image of God, saying, if I be lifted up, I'll take them all with me if they'll look in my direction. Draw them all unto me irregardless, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But anyway, these allegoric things, if we'll just work, you know, that we can have the garden that I saw. In the vision, as I said before, you didn't have but one problem. That is, everybody wanted to take the garden from you. They wanted to get in. They were trying so hard to get in. It was so beautiful. They were trying so desperately to get in. And they wanted to get into this garden. And you had game to hunt. And your fishing and hunting was so outstanding in the sense of potentiality until they couldn't hardly bear the thoughts of not getting into that garden. God was with you. The garden was beautiful, blossoming, everything. No chance of it being taken away from you. Everything was just beautiful. But they were sure pressing. Your body is the physical side of it. There is a natural side, and you've neglected the natural side of this campground. You've greatly been negligent. And when we planted the little flowers, I believe they got out probably 20 or 30 of them yesterday of the azaleas. I know that Roger went to town and bought 30, 33, wasn't it? How many? 34. He went to town and bought 34 at one time and paid for them himself. A beautiful azaleas. I guess they got the greater part of those planted, or at least some of them. But anyway, those little plants, as I said the other day, that we planted, has been viciously, as you would say, plucked up, carelessly neglected. I pointed out on the right, I don't know whether you've ever noticed it or not, but going out, if you'll notice, there's some trees planted on the right. And those trees are dwarfed. They're not about so high up here. And as you go around through the gate, if you look on your left side, those are big, beautiful, and tall. Now, both of them was planted at the same time. That's the way people are. You know, you can root and plant a person and they might not die. But you can spiritually abuse and starve them to death. Did you know that? Somebody said, well, that's what's wrong with me, Brother Pike. No, that's what you've done to somebody else. Your very thoughts prove that you're the guilty one that's done it to somebody else. Because if you wasn't the guilty one, you'd be in here praying, doing your very best, loving, stretching out, doing everything you could. See, the Bible ask the question, who is the neighbor? Jesus gave an illustration one time. A man fell by the way the thieves robbed him. The priest and all of them passed the man up. But somebody came by and helped him, a good Samaritan. And Jesus tried to illustrate the neighbor. And when he finally finished, it kind of confounded the ones that was listening. Listening because he always had a way of crossing things. Because he came for Calvary's sake. And then he told them that all of these good things that was done unto the man. Said, now that's the neighbor. You go do likewise. You go do likewise. So then these little trees is dwarfed. They've been neglected. They haven't had any food. There's been nobody feeding them. And I asked little David Jameson, yesterday, I believe it was. It was either yesterday or the day before, Friday. I asked him on a Friday to start, that Saturday would be his day. And he started in because it has to do with the house of David. And Bethlehem means house of bread. And those little fellas need feeding. And I couldn't get nobody else to feed them. So David said, I'll do my best. So David is going to feed them, and you watch now, as David feeds them, you'll just see them jump up in leaps and bounds. They'll just grow. And that's what we've got to do here. We've got to feed. Jesus said, feed my lambs. We've got to feed them. You've got to share with them and quit rebuking them. Quit tearing them down. Quit cutting them down. I hear they take the mower. I put somebody in charge. And they don't pay any attention to the grounds, and they just let boys get on the mowers. I see them all the time, and even some of the older brethren, and they just race like a racehorse every which way, and they cut down everything. You know, I made a statement the other day, even my golden scepter was cut down. I hear that I had by the flagpole that come from California. Brother, Sister Gilsham, they got that, I believe, from California. I don't know where they got it anyway. They're from California. It had a significance, and we planted that golden sceptre. Went out there and planted it myself. And had it planted, and this particular thing, it was cut down by one of our black brethren. Whereas I didn't fuss about it because it was allegoric and the hand of God was in it. Because I know the brother definitely would not have done it because he's too concerned about not doing it and having plants out there. But anyway, it had to do with the Jews cutting down Christ. And that right at the flagpole where it has to do with the throne, the little pyramid that we've got made out of grass, and the flag that says, "He shall reign forever and ever." Perhaps you've never been up in a plane, but this thing is real pictorial. It's got, like here at the church, it looked like a head, while those little old fountains symbolize eyes and appearance. And then the fountain like a nose, and then the gate like a mouth, in that it is an entrance. There's really something. It looks almost like a face from the air. I've been in y'all's plane flying around over it. And of course, Betty has too, and she's seen it at night. Seen it in the daytime. It's really something. But anyway, the golden sceptre was to be cut down in the sense that the Jews cut it down and took it from Christ, but it was to grow again. And sure enough, it's green. It's still green. The dead part, to that extent, was cut off, and the greenage, which is the resurrection coming up out of the ground, as always, from the seed, is green and growing again. So a lot of times it's like you die out in your body. And then on the inside, which is the deepness of the seed and the root where the life is embedded, seed is taken care of and it is preserved. And then after a while it pushes forth again and it comes back out. You have to die in the natural to get rid of the parasites. Because as long as you're young and healthy and alive, see, a demon of lust comes by, a demon that thinks it's so beautiful, it'll come by and it'll get in your body. And as a man, you'll stand there and you'll look in the mirror and you'll think you're so handsome, or it'll be a demon that'll come by, and you'll flex your muscles and you'll be so strong, or it'll be a demon and that you're John Wayne and you'll punch him in the nose, and everybody knows it when they see you coming. Or there'll be some kind of demon that'll come get a hold of a woman and she'll weave like a snake when she walks, because she feels like she is just whatever, above anything else that's around. And the Bible says that they'll try to take a man with their eyelids and they'll mince with their feet as they go. They'll walk real dainty with their feet and they'll use their eyelids to attract his attention and the movements of their body and the form-fitting clothing of both men and women alike as they let evil spirits get a hold of. See, all of these things get a hold of you, so God, he lets you lose a hair over here and a hair over here and get a wrinkle here and there. And as I say, that life that was in the body, after a while, that life that was in the body, Lucifer, Satan, has used it up, sapped it up. He's been out there after that and he sapped it up. It is really something because God allows that. Demons have to stay alive, as we say. That is, they have a dimension of living the same way that you have a dimension of living. And I'm going to read a little scripture in a little bit. I just want to talk to you. They have a dimension of living the same way you have a dimension of living. There's a God life, there's a human life, animal life, whatever. See, and they have to stay alive. And in that they are cut off in death by God, they wander in the dry places seeking life, water of life, rest, and they cannot find it. So then in that you have a temporal life, they come to you, and as the little bee gets the nectar, they get it, they pull it out, they pull it out of you. God has filled you with a temporal life so they can stay alive during the grace period. And so like the birds, they come and drink from your fountain. I was talking about the fountain out here, and I thought it'd be thrilling to let the little birds have a place to drink, because usually they have to go down the creek or they'll get the dew drops off of the leaves or something. And I thought, now this is wonderful, you know. But the thing is, all kind of birds will come. Some hateful birds will come. The Bible said, when you come to present yourselves before God, that is the sons and daughters of God, then Satan also come. The sons and daughters of Lucifer also come. See, we look all alike in the natural. We're just human beings. But on the inside, we don't look alike. One is a freak and one is a son of God. That is, one is a devil and one is a son of God. Jesus said concerning Judas, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. But on the outside, they all looked alike. So they all come for the nectar. That is to say, when you come, the little birds that are good little birds, then the bad little birds come. When the little honeybees come to get that nectar, so does those other weird things come that has that stinger that hurts. Hornets or whatever will feed off of apples, you know, or fruit. So they're both there getting that lie. One is picking it up, and he's taking it away to put it in a little honeycomb. He's taking it over to the queen's house. Now, those are the angelic beings from heaven that minister to us like they did Jesus when he come off of his fast. They're picking it up, and they're taking it into the little honeycomb of our life. See, because they're coming forth from the kingdom within, and they're picking it up. And they're taking it, and they're storing it away. But the others are picking it up from without, through the lust of the flesh. See, not through love and tenderness and kindness and storing it up on the inside, but through that which is an allegoric type. There is a true love on the inside, which is God. Then there is an antitype, or there is a type of love, which is called lust. One works by the senses of God on the inside, which is the great, wonderful Spirit of Christ, of the ministry, of the fivefold inward ministry. As you minister, as a minister to the people, it goes inside and it creates this on the inside. And it draws it within. Paul said, keep it under the body. But on the outside, it is the five human senses of devils. And Beelzebub does his work out there. He's the prince of the devils. So then one is going one way and one is going another way. On the outside, you're just withering up, withering up, withering up. Every day you're withering up because something's getting out of life. You're withering up, and after a while you just wither up. Then you're in good shape. When you wither up, then you're not attractive anymore. The demons don't want you. That is, the girls don't care to look at you too much, and the men don't care to look at the girls too much. See, you're in good shape then. The parasites can't stimulate their lust because of the body dying out to feeling. See, this is the thing that happened to men like Elvis Presley. That's what caused them to despair of life. They had given their lives to the devil and to lust. A lot of people that call themselves Christians and preachers have done that. A lot of women that call themselves children of God have done that. Now, but anyway, when you wither up, then you're in good shape because on the inside, you are not withered up. Oh, beloved friend, you are not withered up. On the inside, you're the sweetest, ripest, richest, youngest, greatest, most mightiest thing that ever was in the earth. And I ain't exaggerating one bit. I have to tiptoe to even try to point to it, let alone reach the level. And it's like a man one time, he said he felt so little. I went to him after he had done me wrong and said all kind of things about me. And I caught him in a tent meeting. And I went over and showed him love and I gave him an offering. He said, honestly, said, I feel so little that if I was under a board, I'd have to tiptoe to touch it. And on the inside, I'm not exaggerating, you are filled with the wonderful love and greatness of God. Filled with it. See, and you are perfect. That seed is ready to be transplanted and bring forth that great, wonderful harvest of eternal living. Now, I said that because I preach to you a lot of times that this presents itself to you in the form of thinking. You can tell the bad birds and those that have the sting of death. You can tell. See, because they come to you in the form of thoughts. And they produce fruits. And you get whatever you think. fruits according to your thinking. That's why that a lot of times folks say, well, Brother Pike, it looks to me like you're just down on the tree of knowledge. To me, you just don't want nobody to go over there and visit with it. And you don't think that we ought to pay the tuition so that our children can feed from it. And you just look like you're down on it all the time. I guess I really am. I know that it stings like an adder, and it's knowledge falsely so called. And I know that it educates to sports and the sting of death, frolics and money and position of the world. But all them that are born of God have a good understanding. And if you're being educated in Christ, that's wonderful. I think one of the worst things that you could do is go to college to be a preacher. That is the most deceiving, degrading thing a person could do. There ain't hardly nothing worse than that. God ain't never brought a preacher out of college. There ain't never come one out of college. Now, you might be a preacher, and I'm talking about a manufactured preacher. You might be a true child of God, and you might go to a Bible school, you might go to a Bible college to develop yourself or try to learn something from God, whereas that's very dangerous, because I had a friend that was filled with the Spirit, and they kept him a little while, and he was dead, as we say, as a doornail. I went up to visit with him, and I couldn't even hardly relate to him anymore. But it is a true fact, there are some God schools and God colleges where there are a few good people that are trying to do what's right. That's good, to develop yourself. That kind of thinking is all right if it's godly thinking. Real godly thing. You take a little honeybee, he won't sting. If he does sting, you don't hurt that much. It's just enough to get you away from, you know, bothering the honey. But you take a little honeybee, it's not like a hornet. A hornet can pop you and kill you. Did you know that? A little honeybee, he just kind of wards you off to stay away from the honey. Don't be messing around. But anyway, those thoughts that are coming to you with that kind of sting is just a little chastisement to correct you, help you walk right. But you don't want to mess with the other. Stay away from the tree of knowledge, whatever you do. When they went into Canaan, the Bible said that your wisdom and your knowledge from God will be so great that all of the land will fear you. The Babylonian scholars won't even know what you're talking about. You'll be so advanced. And it's true, folks. Professors, I've talked to them. They don't even know what you're talking about. They marvel. They say it's beautiful. I've never heard nothing like it. See, so this is what will cause you to take over the world and rule, because the one with the superiority of knowledge is the one that's going to rule. And right now, the world's got it because of their Bible says the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. They've developed themselves. They've gone to school. They've took control of him. God's allowed it for the first move, that they may have control of all things. But now we're advancing, and the sons of God are coming out, and their knowledge is going to be so great. The Bible said abundantly above all that the scholars of the college can even think or could even ask. It's going to be so abundantly above that there'll be no way to search it out, no way to get it. And God is going to have to make it a revelation to them that will submit themselves and program their mind with this great, wonderful mind of Christ. And it'll so excel by the second birth the mind of the beast, which is a human mind, until, as he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways, my thoughts are higher above your thoughts than the heavens is the earth. Okay, so then you are getting in good shape when the seed starts making. So you work and you pray and let God develop that seed. And all of these other boys is trying to show their face, beautify themselves, and they just got to be pretty in the eyes of the girls. You leave them alone. Don't mess with them. Don't bother them. Just go on. Because see, they've got a devil of lust, and it's working in its minor sort of a way right then. That's like an infancy. It's just getting started. See, and just leave it alone, because it's just working gradually. And then after a while, it'll show up. We've got a man here sitting not too far from me right now. He's got a spirit of lust to hold of him. He's had it down through his lifetime. And he tried to shake it off here for a year or so, and now it's back on him, and it's just like, it's really bad. It's getting more and more. And he has the feeling that he's getting more handsome and more handsome all the time. You know, mirrors are deceiving when we look at it our way. Did you know that? They're real deceiving. Because we look for the good parts. We'll see the bad parts, but we'll soon discard that, you know, and count that of no value. And we'll get around to the good side of it to see what we still have to spare. You know. But anyway, I got some here at Bethlehem. They're doing this. And they're trying their best at the same time while they cultivate this thing and work with the lust of the flesh and the body. They're trying to get everything they can over there in the lust of the flesh. And yet they're trying to get everything they can from God. But they won't do it. They'll never do it. See, this is what I preached to them at Pearl. That's why the church is in the condition it's in now. Jesus' one desire was to take the body to Calvary. And he did it. He never stopped from the manger to the cross. See, but the one desire of the church in general today, it appears, is to get everything they can out of the flesh and out of the natural world and still get everything they can spiritually. So that'll never work. You can't mix darkness with light. That'll never be. So these people, preachers, I watch them a lot of times, even when they come through here. They come up into my pulpit and preach. Somebody say, you know that and you let them up there. Brother Pike, I think you're rich. Well, Jesus said, follow in my steps. He knew Judas was a devil and he let him walk right with him. Didn't he do that? So it might be that you just misunderstand, and I understand. At any rate, he let him walk with him. There's a time, you know. Judas had part of that ministry, but when the devil entered into him, that was the time not to let him in the pulpit anymore. Jesus disfellowshipped him. So the rain on the just, the unjust, I go along doing what the Lord tells me to do. But I watch people, and these things will work on a woman in their infancy, and they start growing, just like Christ developing in you. These things start developing. A babe in you, they start developing. And the first news you know, you just leave them alone. And there's a woman standing down on the corner, like a man that I told somebody. I said, a spirit of lust is going to get him. I said, he's a preacher. He's an outstanding preacher. Numbers of them come to my mind that I told people about, you know. But I said, the devil's going to get him. I said, I've already seen it. I said, right now, he's going along seemingly real good. Family, happy, everything's fine. I said, and he's a great scholar and got a great intelligence, a great personality. I said, but he's also got a devil of lust the whole time. And it wasn't long. He confessed this to me himself. It wasn't long before he walked down to a certain place at a certain time innocently for some means of substance for home. And there just happened to be a person that began to talk with him. And he was by himself, and this person was running the business. And the woman began to talk with him, and she was telling him about her problems, of how that her husband had left her. And she was struggling, and a little more conversation and a little more intimate. And then after a while, and I got some men and women that's got this kind of spirit on. And no, Brother Pike begs and pleads with you and asks you and tries to love you with all my heart to tell you the truth. You still do it anyway. You still do it. So there's nothing that I can do except leave you, that you might as Judas go to your place. You've got a foreordination of God and the foreknowledge of God, and you will go to your place. He ordained a place for you before you was ever born. And you'll go to it. Though you be ever so religious and you reflect religion from your youth, you'll still go to it. Now, it might be a devil of gossip. It might be a devil of lust. It might be a devil of temper. It might be a devil of cursing, a devil of whatever, you know. Money, gullibleness, wants for the things of the world, just lethargy, just being here and there and lounging around and riding and eating and drinking and whatever, it's a devil. And there's millions of them, fallen angels, and they're looking for bodies to inhabit. But anyway, I wanted to read this as we talk with you here. In the book of Jude, I want you to notice this. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, it to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. I want you to listen now. This is the men that we're talking about. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. This is women also now. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is bringing things to an abased, gullible side of life. Notice it now. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Therefore, there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, these men are among you Bethlehemites. They got in here while you wasn't looking, while you wasn't watching close, and they crept in unawares. So they caught you off guard. Now listen. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. That is by foreknowledge. These people, before they were ever born, they were ordained to this condemnation to be troublemakers in the church and to cause you problems, these women and men. They are not interested in holiness. They are not interested in righteousness. You can tell these devils if you'll watch them. Because one thing that you'll find, they'll never be interested in a clean tongue, in a clean mouth, in a clean mind. They'll never be interested in doing anything for God. They'll never be interested in a life of holiness. The one thing they will not do is conform to holy, pure thinking and living. Any time you find a person that won't do that, I don't care if they preach like a house on fire and turn tumble salts while they're doing it. They are of the devil. And they can pray and people can flock in and you can feel whatever you want to feel, but they're of the devil. And those men are ungodly men who have crept in unawares, and they were before of old ordained under this condemnation. As a matter of fact, Paul uses the terms when he preached to certain ones. He said, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. Now these were before of old ordained unto eternal life, elect according to what God foreknew. And in this, I remind you again, Paul in his revelation taught this. He made the statement. He said, and this eternal life that we now have, said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And it is brought to light by the deeds of Calvary, or it comes to light through the crucifixion. And the light is the light of the church ages. And thus the ministering of the kingdom of God being at hand begins now at Calvary. Notice this now, ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do they deny him? The Bible said they confess him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. For in works and deeds, the things I just mentioned, they deny him. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Now here's the church coming out of the flesh, trying to go over with us. But he says some of them's looking back into Egypt. Any man having put his hand to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And the angels which kept not their first estate, and of course that means having the love of the world in them or the interests of the world. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, this right here is why I teach that there's no such thing as doing away with the flames. Somebody said, well, someday the flames have got to be done away with, for hell is not eternal. I know that hell is not eternal. I teach that hell is not eternal because there is an end to hell. The Bible teaches that death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. They shall give up their dead. Now, but when you say there's going to be an end to the flames, you're mistaken. Somebody says, well, it says everlasting punishment and hell is supposed to be everlasting. It means spaces of time, in that Jonah went down into the belly of the whale and he was there forever, which means spaces of time according to the Greek. I know that, but it's just like this reading right here. It does not say everlasting. It does not say forever. It says eternal. It says, for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me they're going to be in the flames eternally? It didn't say that. I said that this flame here indicates God, who is a consuming fire, when he is in his wrath. And it says that the vengeance of this eternal flame is going to consume them. And God is never going out. God will never burn up. The altars of the old sacrifice never went out at any time. It burned day and night. It represented Calvary, the burning of his fiery indignation against evil. Even the brazen altar, as the brazen serpent lifted up in the wilderness. See, and it is obvious that they are suffering the vengeance of eternal flames. We come here to understand. We come here to build up our understanding in God, that we can have a better vocabulary expression to those that are without, and that we might be more thoroughly furnished in the things of God. That's what Jesus done. He taught them. The Bible said they shall all be taught of God. And if we go out and preach under the tent, we try to teach a little, but we try to preach the whole time we're there with a drive and a stimulation to shake them up. And it bothers me if I have to do that to shake you up here, because that means that you are really having problems. And then, of course, in the midst, I have sons of the devil and daughters of the devil that are here for none other purpose than to cause problems, that don't have any thirst or hunger or desire or whatever. But anyway, I feel a good attention this morning, but I feel a little weakness going and coming out of some. Now, notice this. Suffering the vengeance of eternal flames. Now notice what it says. Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities, like manner, fornication, going after strange flesh. This is the ones. Outside of the gates of that city will be liars and cheats and swindlers, fornicators, adulterers, whoremongers, everything that loves and makes a lie. It'll be outside of the city. Them that want to wear pretty dresses to catch people's attention, dress up the body, them that want to wear pretty clothing, the men's side, to catch the attention. Them that want to wear lustful clothing, a sinful and adulterous generation, them that want to think wrong, they'll be outside of the city. Them that wanted to dress for Christ to be holy, so that he would look at them. Them that did not desire the honor of men, but the honor of God, and not the papers from some college or some institution to be praised of men, but them that wanted the praise of God, they will be favored in that city. They will be the dignitaries among angels, and not as it is here on this earth, dignitaries among men. Okay, now, let's look at this again. For an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. All right, in the 8th verse, notice what it says. Likewise also these filthy dreamers. Now, Joseph was a dreamer, but not a filthy dreamer. He was a holy God man. When the woman that was so evil laid hold on Joseph and tried to defile Joseph, Joseph literally rent his clothes to get away from her and went off and left her to have his integrity and godliness. See, it takes a little effort sometimes. You have to rend yourself out of the hands of the devil. The devil, that was a devil. See, that woman was a devil. She was a freak in disguise. And that's why you hear so much now about freaks. People who are freaks. You hear that a lot of times now, because there really are devils and demons coming forth through this power of dope. See, and notice what it calls them hippies and those people that are out there in that world. It calls them dreamers. You know, they themselves call themselves dreamers. They say, I went on a trip. I had a dream. See, and they are dreamers, but you don't have to take regular dope to be a dreamer. All you've got to do is just get out there and the devil will give you a good shot of whatever he's got and you will be a dreamer. You know, the song says, beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. Now, dreamer, this is not the beautiful dreamers. We are dreamers. You and I are dreamers, but we are called the beautiful dreamers because we dream of Jesus and we dream of heaven and we dream of eternity and we dream of the everlasting, wonderful, precious, pure, virtuous things of life. But they are filthy dreamers that dream of their face, their body, their passions. They dream of wealth. They dream of the world. They dream of the lustful side of life. They dream of being rich and of sports. And they dream of all of the frolics of the world. That's their thoughts all the time. They dream of cursing and backbiting and eating and drinking and visiting the relatives and just going here and there and doing nothing. I made a statement yesterday, it's bad when you get so much to do that you just don't do nothing. Isn't that right? Some people have so much to do that they just wind up doing nothing. But anyway, it says these are dreamers. These are dreamers. Now listen what kind of dreamers they are. The Bible speaks of filthy dreams. These are dreamers that dream filthy dreams. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Not only their flesh, but anybody else that partake with them. They defile the flesh. The flesh is not defiled of its own self. God made it. He made it out of the dust. And it's not defiled of its own self. Not at all. See, God made it as a holy temple. It was not defiled. If it had been defiled, how could the very presence of the Shekinah glory of the Almighty God Himself, who is a spirit, how could that have overshadowed the body and become interwoven with the body with Adam and Eve? See, it was not defiled. It was wonderful. But when it become a filthy dreamer, from the very first time that Eve listened to the conversation of one who was defiled, she became a filthy dreamer. Now, a filthy dreamer, this is why I don't like education only in the sense of godliness and the foundational parts that are needed, the structure of life. That's all I care for. See, I don't like it because all it teaches you to do is to be a filthy dreamer. See, it is science or knowledge, falsely so called. It teaches you to have prestige in the world and try to get the side of glamour and to be a dignitary and to be a celebrity and to have everything that pertains to the world, and the world loves its own. And it shapes you and molds you and melts you down from everything that's good and pulls you into a mold of corruption. And this is the truth. And when you come out, you are an image of corruption. See, it said, it defiled the flesh, despised dominion. These kind of people, they'll say, Brother Pike can't tell you nothing. Oh, you got to go to God. You know, why follow Brother Pike? Well, I'm getting this thing from God. I got a ministry of my own. You know, or they say, I don't have to listen to that. When he raises his voice, I don't have to hear that. Are you listening? I go to church when I want to. I live on the campground. It don't matter if I live right or not. I'll leave when I get ready. I don't have to do those things. And on and on and on and on. The filthy dreamers, constantly troublemakers. Now, what do? They defile their temple, the flesh. And what does the Bible say about that? Ye be in the temples of God, ye defile it with this filth, with this evil that's in the world today. He said, I'll destroy that body. You defile it and I will destroy it. I can't fellowship it like I did Adam and Eve. I can't get near it. It's for sure that I can't come in and fill that temple with the Holy Ghost. I'll destroy that thing. So I'll despise that thing. In the morning when I see your image, I'll literally despise that image. And even in the earth, though there be grace, I will be angry with you every day. Your prayers will be abomination in my sight. All of your achievements in life, I will hate and despise. Everything that you do will be of the devil. Even if you pray and go to church, even if you give an offering, I will despise it. You won't have any rest. You won't have any peace. I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. He said, I'll hate you. I am angry with the wicked every day. I'm angry with them. I'm just waiting for the blood to come off the mercy seat so I can bring this vengeance of eternal fire. The Bible said after we've once come to the knowledge of the truth, and that's what grace is for, the blood on the seat of atonement, is to give you a chance to hear and give you a chance to repent. Surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. But if you come after that you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and then if you turn away, the Bible says. Then if you turn away, after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, if you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only a fearful looking forward to a fiery indignation of an eternal flame that shall devour its adversaries. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Notice what they do now. They despise dominion. They do not want anybody ruling over them. The bunch of hippies and different ones, they won't listen to the law. They won't listen to the president. They won't listen to any form of government or control. They despise everything. They don't want to do nothing right. They don't like for you to tell them anything. Not anything at all. Not anything. So then, in this, it says they despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. That is, dignitaries, where the Bible uses the term, they speak evil of things that they know not, being vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, thinking they know something when they don't know something they ought to know. They speak evil of dignitaries, that is, of ministers of God and men of God, when the Bible tells us and warns us to be careful how that we entertain strangers, for sometimes it's angels in your presence. Like John, they didn't entertain John very well. They mistreated John, and some whorish woman over there caused his head to be cut off. But yet the Bible said he was God's messenger, and he was sent by the God of heaven. And the Bible said there was none greater than John. And yet this whorish woman caused a man to cut his head off. Can you imagine what that'll be like in the day of the judgment? See, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities, always gossiping, cursing, backbiting, saying something about the preacher. Are sons and daughters of God who are real dignitaries. They're not even worthy to dust their shoes. And yet they're cussing, snort, they backbite, they do all of these things. All right, listen now. Can they get away with it? Can they? Listen. It says here, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, they wouldn't stay in their own realms. They wanted to get down there and mix with flesh. They were looking for that inspiration. See, angels can come and minister to people that are in the flesh. But these angels wanted to come down and mix with flesh. They don't have human bodies. And in doing it, they left their own habitation. He said he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. They'll receive a just recompense of reward for every transgression. All right, now look, listen to this. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. That is, with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. It says Michael, the archangel. Now when you speak of Michael and Gabriel, you're really speaking of something. These are like the covering cherubs of the two prophets in the earth, Moses and Elijah. In heaven there has to be two, in earth there has to be two. In the natural there has to be two. The spiritual, Gabriel and Michael, they're highlighted. In the physical, Moses and Elijah. In the natural earth, it just speaks of them as the two trees, one on either side of the river, the trees of life. They also symbolize, when you go back to the tree of knowledge, which is the law, and grace, which is the tree of life. Now, one of them is a knowledge of good and evil, which has to do with the law, and the other is the tree of life. All right, now listen to what it says right here, just good by itself. It says that he did not accuse the devil. It says, but these that do these evil things now, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. They don't understand. That's why they curse and snort and do the way they do. It says they don't know. They're blind. They can't see. As far as they're concerned, it's just some woman just like they're a woman, so they just rail on them. It's just some man like they're a man, so they just rail on them. They don't understand. He said they're brute beasts. These are brute beasts. He said, made to be taken and burned, therefore ordained unto condemnation. God made them for no other reason than for them just to sit around and feed their bellies and frolic and go and lie and cheat and swindle and accuse and everything else so that he could burn them at the end of the way. It says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. That's why they speak evil, is because they've never learned anything from the preacher or the word of God. But what they know naturally. He said, now they're naturally indoctrinated. Some of them have good educations. They're naturally indoctrinated with all the natural things. They got all kind of natural talents, abilities. They can do all kind of natural things. He said, the things that they naturally know. He said, in this, them being brute beast. He said, in those things they corrupt themselves. The natural things that they know in that the carnality is contrary to God. To be carnally minded is death. It means you're absent of life, the spirit, the mind of word and spirit, the mind of Christ. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. They're in the charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They don't have any fear of God. You can preach to them all day long. You can tell them all the things you want to tell them. You can tell them they got a devil of lust. You can tell them the devil's going to get them, but they'll sit there with that hard, concentrating way of looking at you and thinking of you that they still got an answer. They're still sons and daughters of God. They still got it figured out. They're still going to work it out. They know they ain't right. They know they're contrary to you. They feel it. But they still sit there. See, the Bible said because they're brute beast given to the flesh, that is. Beast means given to the flesh. And if you are a beast, you can be a brute one in the flesh. Be cruel in all of your doings. But anyway, it says that they're like Cain and Balaam. See, Balaam, he could see visions. He could do all of those things. Cain, he was a son of Adam to the extent that he was just like all the rest, you know, in the sense of the natural Adam. Notice what it says here now. Perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. They're in the charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. These are clouds without water. Have you ever stopped to consider what a cloud is without water? You look up into the air, you see a cloud that is made out of a vapor that the sun pulls up out of the earth, gets it up here and condenses it. Now, science don't teach too much about this. But clouds without water, when you speak of clouds without water, then you're getting down to things like the dust and different things of particles that are formed that's pulled up into the heavens. And they're up there, and they can be clouds that bring devastating blows. Like when the angels poured out the plagues into the air, or the smogs and the different things that are coming in of gases or whatever that really are separated in their chemical bodies of life from water. See, it can be bad. It can be bad. You can fill the atmosphere out there with a different kind of gas, and it's terrible. That thing just can blow up or burn up like that. But anyway, and of course that's going to happen when the time comes. And the Bible says, John said, I saw the cities crumble to the earth. The devastating blows of the earthquakes. Man's unbusted bums in the bottom of the ocean until he's made the, as the Bible said, Leviathan makes the deep to boil like a pot. And he's caused things tremors until earthquakes are everywhere. He's cracked the earth all to pieces. Scientists, brilliant. Knowing, thinking they're doing something when they don't know something's all to know. I ain't got enough good common understanding to honor God and not blow themselves to pieces. But they're doing it by the earthquakes. Okay, notice this now, and we're going to close off with the reading here in just a minute. They are without water, carried about of winds. Now this is winds of doctrines. Doctrines, winds of doctrines. You can be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. You can be any kind of thing carried by a wind of doctrine that's not Bible, which is spirit and truth. Jesus said, my words are spirit and truth. That's the only true doctrine, is spirit and truth. The word of spirit and truth. No matter what you belong to. See, carried about by every wind of doctrine. It can be a non-denominational thing. still not be the spirit of word and truth, or word of spirit and truth. See, carried about by winds. Winds go back to the powers of Satan. Without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. They don't have any spiritual fruit. It's withered up. Without fruit, the fruits have withered. Dead. Twice dead, it says. Plucked up by the root. Which means they are dead in the sense of the sentence of death in their body to sleep and not have life in their body. And then he said twice dead, which means by foreknowledge they are one of condemnation that doesn't have any root in eternity. God did not grant unto them spiritual life, so they are dead so far as God's concerned in their spiritual life. There's no root from God, from Christ. He is the root and the offspring of David. Had God not left us a root, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. So there is no root because they're not in Christ, and he's the only root of life that's left. All right, it says they don't have any root. He said they're raging waves of the sea. When you say sea, you're talking about a big body of people, a huge body of people. John said the beasts come up out of the sea. See, because scientists say the biggest part of a man's body is water. Raging waves. That is waves that are restless. It's always coming up, dashing, tidal waves, waves of destruction, crushing impacts that come from Satan who makes the deep to boil like a pot. Not peaceable waters. When Jesus walked on the water, he said, peace. Notice what they said. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Everything that they talk about is about their own personality. Their own ability, their own plans, who they are, what they've done, what they've got to, going to do. Like somebody made a statement the other day, and a man came to me with it. This man was so disgusted because he was trying to get right with God, and he looked to the person to help him. And instead of helping him, the person was withdrawing from the things of God and said, you know, said, I used to help the church, but you watch old Daddy Rab now. Going to get all I can or something to that extent. Now, don't you know that is one thing that is shame. To talk like that is a shame. They're foaming out their own shame. What are these? These are raging waves. People that are angry. People that are temperamental. People that become bitter. The Bible said, beware lest the root of bitterness springing up within you, thereby many be defiled. And if you defile the temple by your filthy dreams and your bitterness, I'll destroy the temple. Isn't it a wonderful thought to know that you are a temple of the living God? There ain't nothing that thrills me no more. People out in the church world, they serve God. They say, I'm a Christian. So, well, what are you? I'm a believer. If that's all I was, I'd be searching. According to the Bible, I'd be searching, trying to find out what was wrong with me. I'm more than a believer. I have God on the inside of me. I don't just come to church and make contact with God or pray, make contact and hope for the best that someday I'm going to be with him. He is with me right now. He's inside of my soul. He's inside of my heart. I go around just like you carrying a bucket of water, and I carry him on the inside of me. And I try to stay filled with him. You know, in the sense of the virtue of that wonderful measure that he's given me, and try to increase my measure daily. Me and my Father's one. And we walk together. You say, but Brother Pike, you can't be one with God. I mentioned that the other night. Somebody got it and walked out. Say, but you can't be one with God. And this person had been fasting and seeking God. That shows you, see, that's not the answer. Like a man over here in Mississippi just come off of a 21-day fast, I believe it was. Went on another fast. Come off of that and went and run off with a woman. That don't mean nothing. See, but this word of God won't let you do that. Did you know that? You fellowship this word of God, and it won't let you do that. The love of God will constrain you. God is love, the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I said I'm one with my Father. Now you said, but Brother Pike, Jesus being one with God, he had the full measure of the Holy Spirit. That was God on the inside of him. There was no part. He was God, completely clothed with a garment of flesh. God was tabernacling him. He could save as one with the Father. Cause of not a spot, wrinkle, blemish, not a shortcoming, not nothing. The Bible says that I keep myself and the evil one toucheth me not. Said he's coming back after me, I'd be without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. The Bible said God hath perfected me forever, sanctified me once and for all. The Bible said that he hath justified me by the faith of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, Old and New Testament, he hath glorified me. So then I'm one with my Father. The Bible said, as many as be perfect, be as thus minded. We're thus minded, even the mind of Christ. Thinking it not robbery to make ourselves equal with God, not seeking a reputation, but just wanting to live for him. See, he makes up my shortcomings as he is, so am I in Christ Jesus. I'm complete in Christ Jesus. I'm his workmanship in the Lord. He's the author and finisher of my faith. So then it is a true fact that I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm one with my Father. And that without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Now, this is what brings us to the translation that we don't see death. Notice this. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. These are wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And if you have to go, if you've got a dinner engagement, something you can easel now. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, there ain't nobody here got a dinner engagement. Some people have a dinner engagement with their tummies at certain times. They go to bed at certain times. They go to eat at certain times. And a lot of times, some of them in here has a certain time, and that's when their tummy calls. All of the labor is for the tummy, because the tummy craves it, of the individual. Notice this now. Wandering stars, what is a wandering star? A reflector. A wandering star is a reflector. So then, it doesn't have anything. It just reflects that belongs to others. And what does the Bible say about this? It said there is a reservation for them in the blackness of darkness forever. You've got a reservation in that you are nothing more than a reflector. Then that means that your intellectual darkness hath taken you into prison. And that intellectual darkness, just as God is the expanding forever and ever and the great volume of that which is immeasurable, so is Satan in his world, and you're caught in his world. So then it says here that intellectual reasoning of yours, that dark understanding of yours, has taken your soul, and the light is withdrawn, and now your spirit has become interwoven with the spirit of darkness. Whereas it was a sovereignty from the Garden of Adam and Eve, it had right to the earth and all the good things of it. And when he was put you under grace to give you a dispensation of understanding, and your sins were taken away for a time being, that God could not see them because of the blood on the seat of atonement. But now you've forfeited your right. The blood comes off. The days of the Gentiles finish. Your spirit has submitted and gullibly went after the flesh, and that Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh. He lives in the flesh. He's of the first birth. It was a subduction to human relation. That's what he did concerning Adam and Eve. Now that the generation of beasts is here, you've given yourself to the beast. And because of that, you haven't mortified the deeds of the flesh. And now when the grace lifts, the light's gone, and you can't even reflect anymore. Therefore, you'll never even have a chance of repentance anymore. While you're reflecting, you can have a chance of repentance. But you can't have a chance of repentance anymore. Therefore, you're confined to your own intellectual reasoning and cursing and drinking and carousing and biting. And the Bible said, and they'll gnash on you with their teeth. One another in hell, you'll gnash on each other with your teeth. You'll be able to feel the pain too. Don't think you won't. The Bible said they did that with Stephen's. Okay, it says, and Enoch, now this is the translation. This is the next step. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, speaking of Revelation 19, to execute judgment upon all. Now listen to this. I want you to notice how he emphasizes this. To execute judgment upon all, and to all, and to convince all that are ungodly, and that the preacher can't convince them. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Now notice he uses all that are ungodly Then he says, ungodly again, ungodly deeds, which they have, ungodly, he says it again, committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly, he says it again, sinners have spoken against him. Four times he used the terms ungodly to magnify what he said. He wanted you to know that when you don't honor God and do the things of God, you are ungodly, 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 ungodly. And I might add the filth to it, ungodly, to substantiate what he said that day in this day. These are murmurers. Now we're going to find out who this ungodly group is. These are murmurers. Now, if you run into anybody at Bethlehem like that, then you understand what I'm saying. These are murmurers. They murmur against Moses in the wilderness and the earth, going back to their fleshly body, the dust, open up and swallowed them up. That is their life. Never did excel the natural creation. It went back from the dust thou art to the dust thou shalt return. Notice this now. Your body back to the dust and the spirit of Satan in it goes back into the pit, into hell. These are murmurers. Now this is what the people don't like for you to preach about. This is what the devil don't like for you to preach about, because when you get down to specifics, then they say, uh-oh, somebody knows who I am because I've been talking to him. Murmurers. They murmur. What do? They murmur. Moses, you didn't do it right. Moses, I don't understand. Moses, it ain't like that. My neighbors mistreated me. They've hurt my children. The school isn't doing right. Are you listening? Murmurous. I just can't stay here. I don't understand. That Brother Taylor, I got to leave. Brother Pike, my other confederate anyway, just a little old clique in the group. Murmurous. But that same bunch of busybodies, they will cause every reproach on the church, in the church, and on the campground, and out of the church, and everywhere else. Notice now, it makes it real clear of these ungodly people. The Bible said these are ungodly, ungodly, ungodly people. These are murmurers, complainers. Somebody said, who said that, Brother Pike? That man that was able to be translated by his faith. Surely he must have known what he's talking about. If you can't accept the ministry of today, surely you'll believe him, because he was the one that made it. He made it to where he'll never have to die. Actually translated. It says, these murmurers, Jude said, or Enoch said, these are murmurers, complainers. Complain, complain. Well, I got a complaint, somebody says, and it's against the school. But that same busybody and that complainer, you look on Sunday morning and you can't find him in church, and most of the time you can't find him in church, and most of the time his little boy or girl has acted like a devil, and they've tolerated him for multiplied months because they knew that the complainer would have a fierce temper, and they tried to work with him. And finally, the brethren just get disgusted and like, this boy is in a backslidden condition right now. He's not here. I guess I can say that. Come to help me the other day. He said, I done heard it till I got a belly full of it. That's what he said. Are you listening? Somebody said, man, that's rude talk. That's what he said. The boy said it like that, you know. He said, I got a belly full of it. He said, I've heard him say things about Bethlehem, and I've heard him say things about people at Bethlehem, and I've heard him say things about this till I got a belly full of it. And said, I've told some of them how I felt about it. Okay, now, these are murmurers and complainers. Maybe you ought not to approach the situation like that, but it's for sure that you ought to get, you know, enough of it and fill the garbage can up enough that you at least go empty it, put a top on it so they can't put that stinking stuff back in there again. Say something to them. Have at least enough boldness, you know, to keep the stench out of the can, wash it out a little bit, and quit making your ears a garbage can for that kind of stuff, and speak up. And when they start, you know, and say, well, you know, that group said, well, yeah, you know, and I'm out there, well, I don't agree with them anyway, you know. And stop being a hypocrite and a wishy-washy without a backbone sort of a person. So I said, Brother Pike, is that preaching? Well, it's my way of expressing it. I believe it gets over the point, though. If you can condemn it, you can speak up. You can stand up now and condemn it, you know, if it don't fit right. Say, well, you ain't supposed to do that in service. The Bible said the devils jumped up in Jesus' service and expressed their feelings about it. Now, it says they're complainers. And it says the reason that they are murmuring, and I am going to close, the reason that they are murmuring and they are complaining, it says it is because they're walking after their own lust. Now, the original rendering of that word, I tell you again, is desire. I bring it down to that because a lot of people say lust. I'm not lustful. It is desire. They're walking after their own thoughts, their own desire. What is their desire? Their desire is to have their way. They despise Brother Pike or Brother Taylor or any of the oversight, or they despise the rules and regulations. They despise it. They despise it. Some of them have left because they despised it and went off and made remarks and almost lost their lives because of it. They despised it. They didn't want anybody having any rules or regulations. That's my ground. That's my lot. I'll do what I want to. All right, you do what you want to. That's what it says you'll do right here. You'll do what you want to, your own lust and desire. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. You just watch me, somebody says. I'll show you. You know why they say that? It says because they have men's person in admiration because of advantage. They say, that man's got it over there, and I'm giving mine to the church, and that man's doing it over here, and he's got all of these things. You know, and he's this, and he's that, and she's this, and she's that. You know, and I admire them. They are my example. I'm going to follow them. And as a consequence of that, they follow their own lust and their own desire. Okay? It says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the foundation now. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Them people are mockers. They're the spots and blemishes, the clouds, the wandering stars. Be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Now remember, they don't have any fear of God. That's why they're not afraid to do it. Having seared their conscience with a hot iron, they're past feeling. They'll do anything. Don't bother them. Be just as religious. Cain killed his brother and then come to offer his sacrifice. Come right back to church. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice this. These are people who don't have the Spirit. How have they separated themselves? By the human senses. The five human senses, they're very sensual. The five human senses of hearing, taste, smell, that feeling of touch, eating, drinking, seeing, sight. See, they have separated themselves sensually, having not the Spirit, going after human passions. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Notice now, eternal life, over here it says of them, suffering eternal vengeance, that is wrath. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. In other words, don't count them all to be a bunch of reprobates. Some of them are stumbling and staggering and need help. Some of them are brothers and sisters that are caught in that thing and they've been neglected and they really do have hurt and they're not trying to accuse. They're just standing off a little bit trying to heal the wound. But the thing is, the Bible said, you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, such a one, go to them, and that in the spirit of meekness. Don't go over haughty and hateful. That in the spirit of meekness. And the Bible said, you be spiritual when you go or you're going to be caught in the same thing. They're going to persuade you. Let me tell this right hurriedly right here, because I have to hurry. You know, in Bethlehem, you have to hurry if you're going to get it over. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The Bible said, and go there and pull them out of the fire. Some of them that Jesus eat with the sinners and the publicans. Give them the right word of God and take that human garment and pull it out of the flames, because that's where it's going, that's where it's at. in the burning indignation of his anger every day. Pull it out and hate that body, that garment that you see out there in the world, that's spotted with flesh, that spots, that's all spotted with carnality and the evil things of the world and doing their own desire and their frolic. Hate that kind of thing. Get away from that human body. Get away from that human being. Stay away from them. If you perceive those, there's no understanding in them, and they won't let you help them. Get away from them. Hate that. He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. I hate the wicked with a perfect hatred. Let their table be a snare unto them. Let them be eating and drinking at my coming. Okay, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The Bible said if you do these things, you'll never fall. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. No fault at all. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It's the whole book of Jude that we read there. And I want you to notice this one thing now. It says that he's able to keep us. How could he do it? By his finished works. Because he's perfect, God has accepted his person in our behalf. Now, I want to comment here, and I'm going to close. It says here, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Now, I said that some drift out there. There was just something shown on 60 Minutes that come to me yesterday. Somebody was telling me about it. On 60 Minutes, that the FBI had subjected for a number of years men of authority, which were also FBI agents. They had subjected them to certain things like this. They had made them undercover agents, taught them to buy guns and whatever, to go out with a stealing group and whatever, to catch them, to feign themselves to be of such or of the group, and to catch them in these evil misdemeanors of life so they could convict them. Well, as they did it, went on for a few years, and then when they called for the men back, they had a real problem. Because they said the men had done learned to tie bandanas around the heads, rip out their shirts, go around sweaty and not in suits and whatever. And when the men came back, they said they could not get the FBI converted back over. And said, as a consequence of that, the FBI that they had subjected to these things, they caught them stealing. Numbers of them, they caught them stealing. One said he had $14,000 in his pocket and still went in and stole a cake and a few things, I believe. The thing had done got a hold of them. So naturally, they put them off of the force. And then they put in a suit against the force saying that we give our lives to this. So then they took them to a number of psychiatrists or doctors. And the doctor said, there's nothing you know we can do about it. Said it's just, or not in those words, but said these men have become addicted, as we would say, or converted over to this. They get in there and fight, knock, beat, bang, shoot their way through. You know, and then they come out of there. And when they come out of there, you run up and suddenly you hit them or say something to them and you're liable to get your head cut off. Because they're just in that kind of condition. Men that come out of prison are the same way. You have men that stay in there 4 or 5 years and come out. That's why it's so bad now. See, they can't readjust to society, so they get off into a little group. But anyway, I just said that to say this, not to enlarge upon it, but just to bring this thought to you. See, you have brethren that were one time godly people in the sense of, you know, having experienced, having tasted the wonderful things of God. But see, they get out there and they get with that group and they convert over. So then you also have those that have never come to the place. They're just babes. They're wobbling here and there. And you got to work with them. And you got to bring them in because they reflect that side as well as this side. So then, let's remember, and in essence, let me say this. That while disputing over the body, and this is the thing that Brother Pike is trying to do at Bethlehem, is to redeem the body. Because Jesus took the body to Calvary. If God ever gets a people that he can redeem in body, bring them to the right place by the means of their thoughts, he will feed them the fruits of their thoughts, and that is, their thoughts is either the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which means death, or their tree, their thoughts, is the tree of life that produces the fruits of eternal life. Now, if I can get you to feed exclusively by conversion, God's already saved you by his blood if you're elect predestinated. Now, if I can get you to feed exclusively on the thoughts of righteousness, to meditate in his thoughts day and night, and to cast down your thoughts and every high thing that exalteth itself against those thoughts of Christ, convert you over altogether to where you won't lean to your own understanding, but just think his thoughts all the time, then I'll have you ready for the rapture. And this is what Enoch did.
And Jesus paid the price so that you could do it, but it's up to you to do it to save yourself from the sin of regeneration. So then he tells you to keep your heart. He tells you to cast down imagination. He tells you not to do these things. And if you do that in your thoughts, you'll have control of your body. And if you will listen, we'll have the body redeemed. That'll be it. That's what Bethlehem has to do with. All right, I want you to stand with me. That's why I don't always scream at you. As long as I can get you to listen, ain't no need to scream and chastise you. Though I do once in a while have to do something because of the mixture that's in the congregation. But anyway, as I say, when you do right, you don't hinder the work of the Lord, and then you go home and you have the blessings of God. When you hinder the things of the Lord, as the Bible said, blessed is he that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, whose delight is in the laws of God, and them he meditates day and night. This man will be like the tree planted by the water. Whatever he does will prosper. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season, and they won't wither. Well, as I read to you here, it says, those others, their fruits wither. Now, all that is to say, all of them had grace. All of them had opportunity by the atonement of the blood. They blossomed religiously. They were virgins, but foolish. Had all by tasting of the heavenly gift, partakes of the Holy Ghost. Had all. But only in the sense of reflection that it was poured out upon all flesh. They felt it. They danced. They shouted. They hollered. They screamed. They spoke in tongues. Because it was poured out on them. But they didn't have a holy, godly, conforming life to the words of spirit and truth on the inside. They'd rather watch TV in Hollywood. Their minds and spirit feeds after the things of sports and the paper. Hollywood, celebrities, frolics, races, the excitement of the world, because they're of the devil. They're children of the devil. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you know I had a vision, I had a dream, I saw something. So did Balaam. Somebody said, well, I know I'm spiritual. I do anything I want to, you know. But I know I'm spiritual because I have dreams. That don't mean nothing. Balaam, the Bible said, was a soothsayer and loved the wages of unrighteousness and saw, could fall into a trance with his eyes open. That don't mean nothing. Now, so brethren, it's important to get the word. Say, well, that man's a man of God. I know he's a man of God. There's healings in his services. That's nothing. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. God done the healing. He didn't. He just stirred up your mind. You said, but how did he do it? Transformed his mind into a minister of the words of life. Stirred up your mind to believe. You believe. You got healed. But if you don't watch out, they can become a lying sign and wonder. It can be deceiving. You can be convinced in something that didn't really happen. A lot of these lying signs and wonders, they sit down and they pull people's legs out and they say the leg grow back. A lot of times they're lying, ain't no such. Sometimes they take people's name short legged. I heard somebody the other day said, I try to tell them I didn't have no short leg, and they set me up there and put that demonstration on. And like my sister that testified when they tried to do that, when she left, her foot was just the same, but they pulled it out, told how it was healed. In a big meeting, but it was just the same when they finished. We got a man that comes over here to visit with me. They done his that way, but he's still, when he walks, he goes way over to the side, still just like he walked. Lying signs and wonders. So then, to be a real Christian, to love the Lord, just to be what you are, just to do right. That's all that matters. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'm going to let you go. Don't get, you know, last minute. Just hold on. Be relaxed. Say, dear God, I'm going to be the kind of person, and when Brother Pike gets down to that last minute, instead of letting the devil get a hold of me and, you know, you're just quiet, don't go no more, and don't get started again. You know, if he's got started again. I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to say, well, God, him down to the last minute, glory to God, let him go another hour. Don't just say it. In your mind, mean it. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, I'm afraid you would. Well, glory to God, you'd have another hour of teaching. And the Lord would talk. No, it doesn't matter whether you listen good or don't listen good. I got so much to say, and that's all I got to say. I know when I start just about where I'm going to end. But you don't. You're so afraid I'll go too long. See, but I know what I'm going to say, and sometimes it's a little lengthy, sometimes it's not. And sometimes if it is a little lengthy and you cut me off, then you haven't cut me off, you cut God off just to listen to me. Because that's when I go on. I start preaching then. You'd have been better off just to listen to the Lord and not tune me in right then. Because when you cut him off, then he inspires me to speak as a man then to preach to you. Otherwise, he can speak directly to you from the temple. All right, let's sing this chorus together. Many things I've got to say unto you, Jesus said, but thou art dull of hearing. That stream, it's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. It's in Jesus' name. There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. We'll pray for these people. You want to lift your hands with me? Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus, I love you, O God, because of you and your righteousness. And I'm nothing of myself, and neither can I do anything of myself, but always seeing what the Father does and delighting in what the Father does. Holy Father, we speak healing to this body, deliverance to this body. Lord, that this body may be as it ought to be. Oh Lord, free of every imperfection. And oh God, we speak peace to this soul, to this spirit, bringing forth the blessings, the wonderful blessings of the lovely child of God, even Jesus, your precious Son. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, as I feel the mighty anointing of God, I pray for this sister. May the blessings of the Lord be here. Father, to add your love, your power, your virtue, your kindness, Lord, the sweetness of the wonderful words of Jesus, may within this heart, within this temple, within this life, be found a consolation. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to the purpose. And though we don't understand many times because of the troubling, yet, dear wonderful God, we know that it is true. And dear God, I pray that as a sister so troubled in spirit this morning, God, that she'll be blessed. And the thing that looks so bad and so wrong, dear God, you are able to change and will change and make it right. Oh, God of heaven, Lord, in all things, Father, though the world seeks to hurt, the world seeks to disgrace, God will lift it from that degenerate state and bring it into the wonderful blessings of Jesus our Christ. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, this sister, Lord, that's so depressed, God, being greatly depressed, Lord, because she's not able to perform righteousness in her life the way that she knows she needs to form it, I pray that she will see that this is from the lack of praying, the lack of fasting, the lack of reading the Bible, Father, the lack of consecrating herself toward Jesus. May she surrender and not have the love of the world, but the love of the Father. May her desire, her thirst, her hunger be toward God, that she might have part in that eternal life. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of Jesus. According to her desire, I pray for her, Father. Change her desire. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. in Jesus' wonderful name. Touch the little one in Jesus' precious name, Father. Lord, touch this sister. Help her, Father. Dear God, when temper begins to arise and the fierceness of that evil spirit, Lord, that would steal her eternal life, Lord, and cause her heartaches, may it leave, may it be gone, may it not be there. And though she might be mistreated or be misunderstood, help her, Lord, not to mistreat nor to cause another, Lord God, to be in that kind of condition. But may she overcome evil with good, and may she love with all of her heart, Lord, in your way, in holiness and godliness unto eternal life. Father, bless this sister. Lord, with all the problems that has assailed her and all the heartaches, she has tried, Father, to do something toward keeping her composure in Christ. May it be so. Lord, may her family, her companion, her children, may they learn to love Jesus and turn away from the things of the world. And, oh God, may she herself have a vision for the Christ of heaven and the things of God. Lord, that she be an inspiration to them. Give her peace and calmness. Strengthen her nerves. Strengthen her mind. Hear from heaven. Make her spiritual. Hear, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask that you touch this sister. May the blessings of God be here, the glory of God, to heal, to save, to forgive. You know the love of the world, Father, only leads to heartaches and sorrow. Father, the love of the world only leads to shame. It only leads to that, Father, which hurts and reproaches. May they not turn their hearts to the world, but may they turn their hearts to God. May their talents be given to God in the sweetness and the glory of that that is eternally preserved, even a talent forever, a blessing forever. That their talents be not buried in the ground, as the preacher said in the Holy Scriptures, to take their talent and to hide it and to bury it in the ground of this intellectual reasoning and of this fleshly, dustly body for selfish purposes and selfish gain, for admiration of the flesh. But may they put this talent to the exchanges. Oh God, that it be used for the glory of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, bless this sister. Bless her in the name of the Lord. Touch her with your spirit. Oh God, bring hope and inspiration. Create, oh Lord, within this heart a desire for God. Cause him to walk in the will and way of the Lord. Holy Father, as I feel your mighty anointing right now, grant it in Jesus' name. Touch the little one in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you touch this sister. Deliver her from evil. And oh God, restore the joy of Christian living in this heart. Lord, help the companion work a great miracle, as I believe that you will do. Oh God, to give blessings to this home. Bless their little one. Oh God, I feel your mighty anointing right now, the sister's faith going up to God in confidence and surrender. Heal and save in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. God, you see the faithfulness and loyalty of coming so far to try to be a part of that which she believes in. Dear Father, may there be nothing happen that should happen that would disappoint her in any way, at home or here or abroad, from the children or family or those that she trusts in. Bless her. Deliver her from every evil power that would crush, offend. The name of the Lord. Feel your anointing and her faith going up right now, Father. Grant it. The name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless these little ones. May the spirit of your blessings be upon them as the people worship. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Bless them in Jesus' sweet, loving name. Father, touch this brother in the name of the Lord. Deliver him from sin and from evil. Help him to have a holy mind and a godly mind, a mind desiring good things. Let him feed upon the heavenly manna. Bring the hidden manna into this heart and deliver, heal, and save. Give a vision for Christ. Father, touch this brother in the name of the Lord. Deliver and heal. And, O Lord, help us not to look back into Egypt. For, O Lord, thou hast said unto Abraham, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, and I shall make a great nation of thee. Help us to realize, my Father, that the wonderful will and mind of God is when we can go into a place to where we're not among our kindred. Lord, that we can be of reputation, for in the land of our kindred we are never of reputation and cannot do things for Christ. But, dear God, in another place, people will look, people will hear, people will believe if we'll be a light in Jesus' lovely name. Father, touch my brother in the wonderful name of Jesus. Lift his heart up. Help him to escape, O God, the web that Satan has so cleverly spun. O God, this laying to ensnare. May he stand in victory. May his vision be great. And may all of his financial prosperity, O God, even as this week, having given the money that he's given to the work of the Lord in the job that he's give with the brethren. May all of his financial prosperity be, O God, for the glory of thy kingdom. May it be for thine own will and own way. Satan, I see you. Lord, rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, bless this brother. In the name of the Lord, bless Brother Gary. Lord, he's been through the fire, the testing time with his companion, but he stood for you, and he won out, and he still has his home. May he be blessed. Jesus' lovely name. Father, I ask you to bless this brother. Lift him up and encourage him. Deliver him from corruption. O God, before the body sees corruption, be merciful. Help him. Deliver him. Bring him forth from the tombs of that death. Lord, from the weaving of the web of the spider, bring him forth. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, I feel your anointing right now, Father. Feel his faith going out to you. Heal, save, and forgive. The name of your lovely Son, Jesus, grant it. I felt you break the yoke, Father, as his faith touched thee. In Jesus' name. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, as I pray for this brother, Lord God of heaven, help us not to lean to our own understanding. Help us not to look in the direction, dear God, of failure, faults, of shortcomings and inability. O God, help us to believe as we look and behold. Help us to believe, for today is the beginning of a new day. And as the songwriter said, Father, in this life, let this be the first day. O God of this life, let this be the first day. O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless David. Help him, Lord, to never be arrogant nor temperamental. Help him not to have a jealousy, Father, that would torment him, but to have trust and confidence, faith, believing not in the flesh, knowing that we cannot trust even our own companions or families, mothers or daddies or brothers or sisters. And dear God, knowing that the flesh will always be that way, that we be tormented because we love with our hearts. Knowing, God, that we can trust in Jesus and in the merits of His favor, and that He will preserve for us that which is ours. And He will do as He did unto Abraham, Lord, when He warned the man, Lord, not to touch that belonged to Abraham. Hear me, Father, for I know in Jesus' name that You'll bless David. Hallelujah. Father, bless Matt. Help him in Jesus' name. Dear God, give him a vision. Give him a vision. For Father, even though he's tried, yet Lord, I've seen how that Satan has caused his vision not to be there. And though he's tried to make himself believe that he had a vision, and tried to convince me, yet Lord, thou seest the heart, thou seest man's spirit, thou knowest his way and desire. Help Matt to look back in this direction. Help his companion to be with him and look in this direction. Help her also, Father, not to look in the ways of the world, but to be with her companion. Oh, Father, lest horrible days come and hideous times, nightmares, oh, God of sorrow. Touch Mac. Touch his wife. Touch his little children. Draw them with cords of love. I feel the anointing now, Master. In Jesus' name, as you break the yoke, kindle a flame in this heart. Kindle a flame. Let it burn brightly. In the name of Jesus, I feel the yoke broken. Father, in Jesus' name, as I pray for my brother, dear God, you've seen the discouragement of this heart. And yet, Lord, you know that this person is valuable to me in the kingdom of God and has been. Dear God, though there's many things that are said and many things happen, dear God, there's none on record because of the blood. To them that love you and them that stumble and stagger and them that are willing to repent and them that come to the altars of repentance desiring Christ, all of it is washed out in the past. It's all in the sea of forgetfulness. Father, bless Brother Philip. Bless him in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lift his heart up. Encourage him. You're going to make a way for him, Father. Help his wife also to look in the directions of Jesus. Father, cleanse, purify, hear from heaven. Cause the heart of the companions to be with their companion. Lord God, lest you take away the companionship and give one to another. Lord, and there be no more union, no more uniting, but the home be broken. Oh, Lord, I pray that this will not be, that both will look in the right direction. In Jesus' name, break the yoke in the name of the Lord. I feel it broken now, Father. Grant it right now. Praise God. I felt God break that yoke. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would bless this sister. Help her. She's come with a regularity, Father. Come to the altars of God. Lord, sitting day after day and listening. May there be a blessing. She's got problems, Heavenly Father. Lord, problems that no one knows about but her. But I pray in the name of Jesus that these problems would be removed. Eradicate. Tear down, move away. Restore to the joy of Christian living and the abundance and the overflow of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Grant it, Father. Grant your blessings and healing in Jesus' lovely name. Father, bless this sister in the wonderful name of the Lord. God, restore. I pray thee, O God, that you'll restore. Lord, many things happen when we're out from under the wonderful, loving banner of Jesus Christ. Lord, many things are said and many things are done that we have to reap harsh, cruel reaping for. But dear God, I pray that in this life and in the life of the companion, that it will not be, that there be mercy. Oh God, for their growing and their trying. Now that they've turned in the right direction, for your name's sake and for the blood's sake, wash it away. And I feel you doing it right now. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing broke, Father. And our faith going up to you. Grant it in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Bless this little one in Jesus' sweet, lovely name. Father, touch this sister in Jesus' name. Have your own way, oh God, in this heart. Let her look away to Calvary. The world is enticing. That which is behind, oh God, it looks better many times. But oh God, you said if anyone would put their hands to the plow, and if they look back into Egypt, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. May the person not look back into Egypt. Father, for there's nothing there but the judgments of God. Even as you tore Egypt apart, so will the world be torn to smithereens, Father. Therefore, let her not look back, but let her, as the Bible has stated, forget those things that are behind. Let her forget those things. Father, let her forget those things and move forward and break the yoke right now. In the name of the Lord. I feel you doing it right now. Help her thought to go to thee. Now, O Lord, I feel her faith making connection with your spirit. May it be so, even as you bless her. In Jesus' name. Father, bless the sister. I ask you to bless her. Lord, with troubles and problems and whatever it might be, bless her. In Jesus' name, bless this little one. In the name of the Lord, Father, I ask you to bless. Father, bless this sister. In the name of the Lord, help her. Dear God, help her to realize that she's come out of Egypt. And Lord God, with many stripes, help this heart to turn, oh God, to her companion with all of her heart. And may they walk in righteousness. And dear God, may the past not be remembered, which is cruel, very cruel. But may there be no remembrance of it. Lord, not any. Look in her direction and give her a happy home. Let her and her companion rejoice in Jesus, I pray thee, my Father. Oh God, bless this sister. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to touch him. Lord God, may she be holy. May she be clean and upright. And Father, may she have the perseverance and drive and determination as a young lady that her life be holy. Lord, that her life be right. And that she never listen to the persuasive devils and demons, Lord, that would defile, that would tear down, Lord, that would steal her life to make her to be a miserable creature with the chastisements and abuse, Lord God, that comes from the world and from God. I pray in the name of the Lord that she'll turn her mind to Christ Jesus, to look unto God, look unto God, that she might look unto God. Grant it, Father, as I feel the anointing right now. In the name of Jesus, lift it up. Lift it up even the faith, Lord, of this heart. Lift it up in Jesus' name as I feel your anointing breaking the yoke right now. Feel it broken, Father. Father, touch this little one. Bless her in the sweet name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister. Help her to realize, oh God, Lord, that you've been merciful and held back many stripes. Lord, you've held back much wrath in being merciful. And oh God, may she continue to walk with thee and look toward thee. For the wrath cannot be held back unless we walk with thee. For sorrows and darkness and chastisement must come, Lord God, to a home of man and woman unless they walk with thee. May they walk with thee. May there be the blessings of God upon the children, the wife, the husband, and all of those that are involved. Lift up the heart, faith, and move away condemnation, that we might be able to touch the throne of God. I feel you doing it now. Lord, do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel the yoke broke, Father. I felt her spirit touch thee in faith. Bless her. I feel you blessing in the name of the Lord. Father, Lord God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. God, you see the faithfulness of our brother trying to come to do what he can to help us, to walk with us, and to be a part of this great ministry in the earth today, Father. Lord God of heaven, you see the toil, not afraid, Lord God, to work, to labor. Oh God, may he be blessed. May he and his companion and his children, his home, may it be blessed. May his substance be blessed. Look down from heaven. Forgive every sin of the family. Oh God, and bless. Hear from heaven, Father. Oh God, hear from heaven and heal and bless. Forgive. In the name of the Lord. I feel you doing it now. Grant it in the name of the Lord. In your wonderful, wonderful name. Hallelujah. I feel you blessing him right now, my Father. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless this little one in the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless him. Heal his little body. Father, bless Brother Stan. Help him. In the wonderful name of your precious Son, Jesus. Strengthen. And oh God, every spirit that would aggravate his mind, torment his mind, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord rebuke thee in Jesus' name, that you do not oppress in any way this mind, that this mind can be blessed and be free in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of the Lord, I ask you to bless Joe. Lord, strengthen Joe. Help him to have a vision. Help his companion to work with him. Father, in the name of the Lord, let this be. Let it be, Jesus. I thank you for your love, your consideration, your mercy, your tolerance. Bless Joe. He's trying, Father. He's trying. In the name of the Lord, grant it. Lift him up in mind and spirit. Ward off every evil. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee in the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name, may this person be blessed. May they be healed. May the family be blessed. May they be strengthened. Bless the little one in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, bless Don. Help Don, oh God, to be more conscientious in his Christian dedication. Help him, Lord, in the church, to be more conscientious in listening to the Word of God. that he might grow. Help his hunger and his thirst to be after Christ and the things of God. And Lord, you'll take care of the natural needs. Lord, you'll supply his needs out there. You'll supply it in a great way. Oh God, add in all that he needs. Heal and save and forgive. Deliver his wife also, Father. Lord, and bless the little one. May the great spirit of deliverance and the great spirit of God be in that home to help them to walk together, to love the Lord, to look unto thee. Hear from heaven in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Father. Father, touch Brother Richard. Help this home, dear God. Lord, as I prayed for the companion, so let it be. Lord, that your greatness and power will be there. And, oh Lord, that we walk not after the tabernacle. Lord, for you said we have better altars than those beasts. Oh God, that walk after the tabernacle. Lord, that looks to the tabernacle. But, dear God, may we escape the tabernacle, oh dear wonderful God, to go into the holies of the holies of the innermost, even in the kingdom of God within us in the great Spirit of God. May it be, Father, that we forsake the tabernacle, oh dear God of this earth, the tabernacle in the wilderness, that we may go to a greater thing in Jesus' name. Father, touch Freddie, even as I prayed for the companion. Father, let Freddie have a great vision. Let him walk with us. Let him have a great insight. And, oh Lord, may he be stimulated by the great Holy Spirit. Dear God, not looking at that behind, not doing that, oh God, for that will never do. That will never do. For to look back into Egypt is sure death, Father. Oh Lord, for all them that look back are swallowed up. May that not be with Freddie. May it not be. But may the yoke be broken, and I feel you breaking it right now. Right now, in the name of the Lord. I feel Freddie's faith going up to me. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little one. In the wonderful name of Jesus, bless this little one. Father, Lord of heaven, I ask you to bless Gary. Lord, help him to have a strong determination, a strong vision toward God. And may he have an experience, oh Father, even an experience with thee that he's never had before. Even that experience, my precious Father, Lord of the Spirit, the quickening, that wonderful activation, that interwoven experience of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. May it be so. Hear, O Father. Hear in the name of Jesus and bless and deliver and touch. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to bless Baxter. Deliver and save. Lord, as Baxter goes to make his way in life, dear God, as he looks unto thee for consolation and comfort, concern, help him to realize the only way, my Father, that he can have that is to love you with all of his heart. For you said in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, then you'll be found of us and the blessings of the Lord will come upon us. Therefore, help Braxton to think upon thee with all of his heart, not part of his mind and heart. For thou art a jealous God. Heal, save. I feel you breaking the yoke now. Touch. I feel Braxton's faith going out to you and your anointing. Heal, save. In the lovely name of your holy, sweet child Jesus. Grant it, my Father. Lord, as I pray for Brother Michael, I pray in the name of the Lord, the blessings of God be upon Michael. Help Mike, O God, to do thy will. Help him to walk in thy way, knowing that nothing is hid, O Father, but even behind the closed doors of our lives, your eyes, having penetrated it, sees. O God, help Michael. Help him to have that real experience of feeling your presence, walking with the Spirit, being filled with the quickening. May it be so. Lord, in Jesus' name, help him to look up. Help him to move all condemnation. Help him to have faith not in what he hath done, O Lord, which profiteth us nothing, but in what Jesus has done, which brings us righteousness and salvation. Let our righteousness never be of our mind of our own doings, Father, realizing that we're lost except it be the righteousness of Christ. Help us trust in your merits. Hear, O God, right now. Turn his faith to your works and to Calvary. Turn his thoughts to your works and to Calvary. Where his righteousness cometh from, grant it. Bless his companion. As I feel the anointing, bless his companion. O God, help them to unite together. Deliver her from fears and frustration, anxieties. Help them to walk together, to love one another, and to work for Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, bless the little one. In the name of the Lord, I ask you to bless her. Bless these little girls, Father. As I lay hands upon them, may your great Spirit come down upon them, and may they be blessed of thee, Holy Father, in a great, wonderful way. Touch them as I pray. May the blessings of the Lord be upon them. Have your way in the wonderful name of Jesus as I lay my hands upon the little ones, Father. Grant them, heal this little one, my Father. Heal her in Jesus' name and bless her little body. Father, heal and bless in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch this little sister. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, touch this sister. I ask for you to bless. I ask for you to forgive. I ask for you to deliver. Grant your blessings from heaven right now, Father. Look down and break the yoke. Look down from afar. Lord, these people have been brought up in Christian homes. That's the right way, Father. Bless and heal. Save. I feel you breaking the yoke. May it be broken to never return again. Oh God, may the gift of eternal life be in this heart. Grant it in Jesus' name. Bless in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, bless this sister in the name of the Lord. May your blessings be upon this sister. May the glory and grace of God be here to forgive. Oh Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. Heal and save. I feel you blessing her right now. Oh God, I feel her faith going up to you. Help her to unite with her companion, Brother Hollis. And let them walk together in Jesus' lovely name. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us. Bless this sister. Lord, many things, Lord, has been said and been done. The sister misunderstood many things. But Lord, as she's beginning to understand, may her and her companion walk together. Oh Lord, let all of yesterday be gone. Father, in the sea of forgetfulness, to never be remembered, never against us again. I feel her faith going up to thee, Father, to heal, save, give a great, wonderful life in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I really felt God, sister, in your life. If you've gone with the Lord, you can have some great things. Father, Lord of heaven, as I pray for this sister, in the name of the Son of God, I ask you to bless her. Lord, bless her companion. Father, knowing that they're just starting out in life, I pray that you'd look in their direction. And I pray that you'd help them. Loose every bondage, every band, O God. May every yoke be broken. Lord, many ambitions of the time of youth. Father, there is but one ambition that's really feasible for life. And O God, there's but one ambition that's really rewarding. And that is the ambition of Christ. May the Spirit of the Lord, the great power of God, be in these lives to heal, to save, to forgive. Every yoke be broken. And I feel her faith touching thee now. Oh God, in the name of the Lord. May it be so right now in the name of the Lord as I feel your blessing. The blessings of the Lord be upon her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Grant thy blessings, oh God, upon these little ones. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless Brother Clyde. In the name of the Lord, I ask you to bless him. Father, as I have felt here this morning, so many, many people getting blessed. I know that you've done something in these hearts. And I can feel repentance in hearts, even from the past, of having been contrary to you. And the gratefulness of their heart as they suddenly come to realize that there's still a hope and a release from that heavy load that they've been carrying of condemnation. Father, may they be blessed and continue to be blessed. And as I pray for Clyde, Father, may he also find a rest in Jesus. For many years he sought a rest, Father, and hasn't been able to find it. Ambition and trying and looking and struggling. But Father, may he enter into your rest. There's a rest for God's people, Father. And you said he that has entered into that rest has ceased from his own endeavors and ambition. Let him enter into the rest that he might not be ambitious or anxious for anything, but to be contented in whatsoever state he find himself within the wonderful, great, loving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that through that you might motivate his life and move him to greater heights and depths and greater ministry, whatever would be your will. Hear now, Lord. Hear from heaven. Break this yoke. Break this yoke. I ask you to break this yoke. Touch his companion. Oh God, to break the yoke off of the home. Hallelujah. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it. To heal, to save, to move all fear, Lord of danger, all anxiety, and heal in the name of Jesus. Grant it. I feel you doing it right now in the name of the Lord. Grant it, Father, in your great, wonderful name. Grant your blessings in this home, this heart. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Father, bless David as he goes to try to help me here on the campground. Help him to take on responsibility. He's grown up now, Father. Give him a heart like unto David of old. Not in the corruption of that which was, but that which is, oh Lord, even eternal that David had. That wonderful, bright, brilliant glow of holiness and faith. A heart after God's own heart. Heal and save and forgive David in Jesus' name. Father, touch this one in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, help him and bless him. Touch his body. Help him to understand. Give him strength and blessings in the lovely name of Jesus. Bless this little one, Father, in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, bless Brother Hollis. Lord, as I pray for him in the name of Jesus, help him to move all reasoning, Father. Help reasoning not to war with him continually. Oh God, for the greatest enemy of mankind is reasoning. And help us not to reason within ourselves nor lean to our own understanding. But help us to come to a reality of really knowing and believing and trusting. Knowing that Jesus is with us and he is for us. And we can confer with him. Conference with him, oh Lord. And oh God, that we can have him direct our path by acknowledging him in all of our ways. Even our work activities. Father, hear me now. Grant your blessings. Move every yoke. Bless his family. Give him peace. Help him. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. the name of the Son of God. Free, heal, save, in the name of Jesus. I feel the yoke broken. I feel the blessings. Grant it, my Lord. Grant it. Grant it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, bless these little ones. As I lay hands upon them, may you bless them. They come for a blessing, Jesus. May they be blessed in Jesus' name. Bless these little ones in the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless their precious little hearts, my Father. Touch them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dear Father, bless this sister. Strengthen her body. Be with her and help her. In the wonderful name of Jesus. May your blessings and your grace, your strength, and the new way of life, Father, be a path for her. May she think upon you all the days of her life. And may every thought be of Jesus. Oh God, bless, heal. I feel her faith going out to you. Lord, move every condemnation in Jesus' name to heal, to save, hear from heaven. And heal in Jesus' name. And dear God, bless this precious little child. In the wonderful name of Jesus, may you bless it and heal it and keep it healthy and whole. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, bless this sister. Lord, that's encountered many heartaches and many disappointments, many problems. Strengthen her faith in thee. Oh God, help her as I feel your blessings upon her right now. Help her and give her a new world, Father, one full of joy and peace and gladness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless the little one in Jesus' name. Father, bless this sister. Oh God, help her, being honest and sincere. Lord, having communicated with the wife the way she did, I pray thee, Lord, that by this there'll be a book of remembrance, oh Lord, written in her behalf. Father, that she can find strength. She can find the perseverance of Christ. She can find joy in Christian living and a hunger and a thirst for that which is far better, even the eternal substance. Heal and forgive, bless, break the yoke, move the past, everything. May there be no remembrance. Lord, bring her into new life, into the new life, into the new world, forgetting those things that are behind. Oh God, to be a new creature in Jesus Christ. Bless in the name of the Lord. Father, bless Brother Durrell. Lord, as he tries to buckle down to a real steadfastness of Christ, to help me, to walk with me. Lord, help him. For there is a way, O God. When there seems to be no way, there is always a way. Help him. Help him and his little family. Bless his little family and save his little family. Protect him. Oh God, help Sister Jimmy Lou. Father, as she tries to understand, never having been acquainted with this way of life. For Lord, as the scripture says, we've never gone this way before. But oh God, as we go this way, how beautiful, how lovely, how wonderful. As we walk together in this way, I feel the mighty anointing and the blessings upon Sister Jimmy Lou and upon Durrell. Lord, and the family. Oh God, I know that you're going to bless them. Strengthen them and help them. Oh, that you're going to give them that wonderful blessing from God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, in Jesus' name, bless our brother Richard. Help him in Jesus' name. Help him to be able to reach out and reach his loved ones. Help him to never think about those things in the past, Father, that are weights. For that's not our life anymore, Father. That life is yesterday. Today, Father, we're walking with Thee. There is no sorrow in this day. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. all of the things of life, of trouble, will fall all around us. You said they won't come nigh our dwelling. For when we come into Thee, when we walk into Thee, Lord, we've left that world. In Jesus' name, it's gone now. There's a new life, a new world, a new way of God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel You bless Him. Bless his wife. Bless his little ones. Help Richard. Help Richard. Help him in Jesus' name. Praise God. Father, bless these little ones in the name of the Lord. Bless them. Bless them in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. God, as I pray for Brother Ron, I ask You to bless him. Strengthen him, oh God. Help him to understand, Lord, to be a Christian, that the most essential thing in his life is that a man must be according to his word. Lord, that he must give his word as a commitment. And Lord, he must stand by his word. Lord, that is all that we have in life. And to be like Jesus, the word, and to make the word our flesh, is to be loyal to our word. Lord, to our commitments. Oh Lord, whatever it takes, no matter what, let us not procrastinate a day of putting anything off until another day. But let us do with that day what we have to do with, and the next day with what we have to do with. But let us apply our substance. Let us apply our efforts. Let us apply our minds. Every day, Father, let us do it. May his companion be likewise. May you bless his children. And may it be so that every day we realize we need a home. We need a place for Christ. We need to leave a testimony that every day has fallen us, even to our behalf or against us. May your blessings come down, Lord, in this home, in this house. May it come forth. And may everything that is unlike Jesus, a lying vanity, may it fade away to never come again, to never overshadow this family again. May the evil mind, O God, of procrastination, may it be taken away as a rent veil to never overshadow these people again. But may they look in the city of the light. May they look in the direction of the light. And may the mind of Christ be stirred up within them to hear and to bless, to break every yoke, to bring forth, thou canst resurrect from the dead, to hear, for you said, even the dead, if they hear your voice, they shall live. Oh God, when you told Lazarus to come forth, he heard and he lived. Heal, save, resurrect in Jesus' wonderful name. Help Willie in the name of Jesus. Lord, not to be confused. Oh Lord, confusion is of the enemy. Lord, help Willie not to be confused. For Father, if he walk in confusion, he'll never be able to walk in the light and see the things that you've got for him. Help him to never be double-minded. Lord, to take one path, and that's the path of peace. Even the word of God, whatever it says. Father, whatever it says, help us to acquaint ourselves with it that we might know. And whatever it says, let that be it. God, move all condemnation. O Father of heaven, break the yoke off. Break the yoke off. Grant it, Father. For I know in Jesus' name you're able to do it. Help Willie to believe, not in his ability, in his weakness, Lord, in his wrong, but to believe in the righteousness of the Son of God, even Calvary. For, oh God, I feel the yoke being broken now as he turns his eyes in faith toward heaven, knowing that you are his sufficiency. Bless and heal. Bless him and bless Sister Essie. Bless the children. For heal and save in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, bless Brother Bill. In the name of the Lord, may he look away to heaven. Father, may his companion look away to heaven. May the children walk in favor of God. Here, Lord, bless his little family. Bless him and Sister Marcy. Help them as they labor here with us in the work of the gospel to heal, to deliver. Oh, God, I feel his faith toward thee. Lord, move the harassing thoughts, the accusing thoughts. Oh God, move everything that's unlike God, everything that's unclean, everything that's indifferent, everything that's lighthearted. Hear from heaven. Oh God, for thy righteousness doth prevail. Lord, and where sin doth abound, your righteousness and grace through Jesus Christ and the shed blood hath much more abound, even to victory unto victory, O God. Bless, build, and deliver. Heal, save, lead. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless this little one, O God, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, bless Jerry. I pray thee that you'd look down upon Jerry right now. And dear God, Jerry, being in need of strength, strengthen his nerves, strengthen his body. Help his mind to be altogether settled. Help him to walk in peace. Bless him. Bless his little children. Bless Sister Doris. Help him to unite together in the victories of Christ. Oh God, in Jesus' name, help Jerry to experience that wonderful quickening that comes from God, that infilling of the wonderful Spirit of love. Lord, in understanding, help him to have one mind, one determination, and that's God, and to do the will of God. Heal, save. I feel your blessing, Jerry, now. Grant it upon this person, Lord, for their efforts, for the namesake of Jesus, your efforts. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless Sister Harper. Dear God, seeing the crushing experience of this sister's life, oh Lord, misery that cannot be expressed and told. Oh dear God, in things, Lord, that she tries to conceal to the best of her ability through life. Thou knowest, and in the name of the loving child Jesus, may she find strength, may she find healing, may she find deliverance. Oh God, may she walk in all love and tenderness of the Spirit. Lord God, I feel you blessing her right now. Bless her. Bless the substance of her home. Bless her children. Restore and deliver. Heal and save in the loving name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister. Help her, Lord, as she struggles and looks forward, oh God, to that kind of life that she so desires. Father, may it be so, Lord, that the family and her companion, may they find this rest and this peace. And Father, make their home to blossom like a rose. Grant it. Move away all the heartaches and thorns of life. And may they find that peace and become great and mighty people in God. Help them, Lord, as they unite together, companion with companion. Oh, Lord, I feel the yoke breaking. And dear God, I feel her faith touching thee. May all condemnation be gone, all the past be gone. And may they enter into this new world, this great new world. Oh, Father, that the faith may be released in thee. Grant it. Satan, thou hindering spirit that would hamper this faith from the full blessing of God, I adjure thee by God that you leave. Name of the Lord. Grant it, grant it, grant it in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch this precious little one in Jesus' wonderful name. And Father, touch this mother. Dear God, bless this mother. Oh God, bless Joe, wherever Joe is at today. I pray in the name of Jesus that Joe's heart would be made tender. Lord, that once again, Lord, he'd look toward Christ and realize the wonderfulness of Jesus. God, touch him. You can reach him. Touch him. Him and his family. Touch him and touch this sister. May the yokes be broken. May the home be blessed. May a union and reuniting, oh God, for the glory of the great Father of heaven come. May the little children be blessed. Grant a special blessing in remembrance of what Joe did for you when he was here. In Jesus' wonderful name. Father, touch this sister in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Touch her and bless her. God, help her to walk in the light as thou art in the light. Lord, that she may have that wonderful fellowship with God. Grant it. Lord, hear from heaven. Help her to never, never worry or fear. Lord, help her to forget the things of the past. For you said we are a new creature. Oh, God, we are a new creature. A new creature in God. Heal and save and forgive. Blot out the transgressions. In Jesus' name, lift up this faith. Lift up this faith. Help her to trust in the righteousness of the Son of God. To be strong in the power of your might. Heal, Father. Deliver. Oh, God, heal. Grant it. The name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this sister. May she be blessed of the Lord. Lord God of heaven, let her walk in the newness of life. Let her walk with her companion, O Lord. May they agree together to work for Christ with all of their heart. Lord, may their vision be altogether for Jesus. May the little children be blessed. Touch, lift up, strengthen. Let the reality of God be in this heart, Father, to believe in your righteousness, your works, the way of life that God has set before. In the name of the Lord, move every hindering spirit in your name, Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee from hindering this woman in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you now in the name of the Lord. I rebuke you from this home, from this life, from this brother's life, from the children. I adjure thee by God that you take your hands away. The darkness, the intellectual reasoning, the overshadowing. I adjure thee by God in Jesus' name. By the works of Calvary. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, touch this heart. Lord God of heaven, look down in this home. Lord, you see the misery, oh God, of this home. Lord, you see those things, Lord God, that's unlike thee. And Father, the harshness of Satan. Father, when we go out into the world, many stripes, Father, must come, and many heartaches must come. Lord, when we do wrong, and when we know to do right, and we shun the righteousness of God. Oh, God, when we go in the froward way. But I pray in Jesus' name for mercy. Lord, both for this sister and for the husband, Father. Lord, for the family. Lest the family be totally wrecked and thrown aside. May they come forth. Lord, you're able to do great things in this family. You're able to do things that others cannot do. You're able to do it. May it be. May once again the fertility of the soul of this heart be enriched. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, grant your blessing. Let a harvest once again come forth. Grant it in this heart, in this home. In Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing this little chorus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I really felt the blessings of the Lord. And you know, it's a strange thing, but many of you, as well as myself, should not have been blessed. Because of what we've done, the way we've been, and not doing like we ought to with God. But through His mercy, He remembered you. And you know, in spite of the fact that others have stumbled and staggered, the Lord is still saying, one more chance. But someday, never again will you have a chance. Never again. Some having already been cut off. When you come repenting in tears, it's not that you get the favor of God, but when there's sincerity, then the Lord considers. But them that have no repentance of heart and only repent in tears to go back to the same old thing, they do not find God's favor. But to repent, to really be concerned and to go on, you find the favor of the Lord. And this morning, numbers of people got blessed, numbers of people, and the yokes were broken. Whereas, it's strange, but just one or two, I felt that was trusting more in their own ability than in the ability of God, then they were hindered. That's real sad. I noticed one person especially that got blessed. All of them got blessed, son. But could really have been blessed except for that one thing. You know, even though you might be a fine person, and I trust that you are, anybody that's a Christian should be perfect to the best of their ability in their own doings. But their perfection unto salvation, trust and confidence should be in God and His righteousness, because there is no other righteousness but the righteousness of God in Christ. So, you need to remember that when we pray for you, because God doth not reward anyone for his righteousness or his doings, not anyone. And if you come with any thoughts of being favored or blessed because you've been a good person, or like the man that was not the prodigal who stayed home, you're just going to miss the blessing and the prodigal's going to get it. So then, you think these things over, and let's sing this little chorus over again and then we're going to dismiss. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now then, we're going to stand together, close our eyes, and we're going to be dismissed. Today had a great meaning, or has a great meaning. Matter of fact, it was yesterday, was it? Or just recently that Jerry brought me a hat, was it, Jerry? When was that? Was it yesterday? Thought it was yesterday. He brought me a couple of hats. Jerry's always buying me a hat. Jerry buying so many hats has to do with the many crowns. And Brother Denny McLean gave me a thing you hang hats on, coats, and I got them hanging all over. Jerry bought me two hats yesterday. And they're beautiful hats. The strange thing is that the yesterday had to do with the rest of the Lord, the house of David, the son of David, and the ruling and reigning as a prince. And some recalls the things that I said the Lord spoke to us about, and little David yesterday being put over the shrubbery because the inheritance of the Jews, of course, is the natural. And Brother John Jameson follows that in the crossing of the Jordan into Canaan, in that he studied the natural. He studied about agricultural, whatever, that kind, that side of life. And so then yesterday was the time of the throne and the crowning. And all of a sudden, Brother Taylor spoke about the throne, and that happened about the child being caught up with the throne, having to do with Chris. And then Brother Marlowe spoke, I believe, I'm not sure, said something about a throne, or I know somebody else did. And then Brother Jerry, he comes and brings me a golden hat. I'd walked home the other night from the fountain on a Friday night, Friday night, after 12 o'clock. And I walked into my wife's office, and when I got in there, I looked and said, I'll give you a crown. Now, these things being symbolic of... Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, surely you don't believe that you got a crown. Got a crown of life that fadeth not away. Paul said, from henceforth there is for me a crown of life, and not only me, but everyone that does the will of God. I most assuredly have. It's not unusual that God should symbolize it. With Brother Jerry's name being Lamb and with the hat. And that, a crushable hat. You know, Jesus was crushed and yet he was put back into shape. Christian, you can crush him. Killed all the day long, but they'll just come right back into shape. Okay, let's bow our heads together. Can we do that? Okay, I'm going to ask Brother Gary Armstrong to come up, if he will, and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Now, you think on the meeting now. I want a meeting in the Carolinas, the Lord being willing. You think on it. You really think on it. And pray and ask God to let you go to that meeting in full array for Christ, anointed and ready to do something for God. And I felt God do something for you, Brother Benny. The Lord did something for you while you were standing there, sure as you live in this world. There's one or two, and Brother Stan's wife, Sister, God did something for you. She's really been carrying a load and been under a heavy yoke. Nobody seemed to know that. But she really touched God. Her spirit went out to God, went up to heaven, and God gave her a special blessing. God done something for you too, Eloise. And there's a number of you here that God blessed. The yokes was broken, and God blessed. He was concerned about you. So then while we're praying, now you do this. When the yoke is broken, remember, it'll come back unless you walk with the Lord and love the Lord and praise the Lord. Now, if you don't do that, then the yoke will come back and you'll be under bondage again. So then you walk with the Lord. I felt God bless Brother Bill's wife back there. And you walk with the Lord. Now, you go on with the Lord and God will do something special for you.